All right, Israel is now on a battle in five fronts in the Middle East. What does that even mean? We're going to talk about that today. Also, the United Nations has just come together with a collaborated effort to create what they call the Pact for the Future. We're going to unravel all of this on today's program. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Tuesday, September 24th. We are edging closer and closer to the end of September of 2024. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We've got two major topics I want to cover tonight, and before we get started, I need you to do me a favor. Help me get the word out. Help us to spread this message by simply smashing that like button. It only takes 2 seconds. Just hit that like button, and that's going to help us get the word out on these platforms like Rumble and YouTube. Take it a step further. If you'd like to keep up with our content on social media platforms, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And for all of you guys who would like to miss no headline, every podcast, because listen, there's headlines that we will not share on social media because of censorship and shadow banning and suppression. And if you'd like to catch every one of these things that we do, every topic that we put out, you don't want to miss anything, we want to encourage you to get our free app. You can go to your Play Store, Apple, Android, and type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official trademark ETH logo, download it today. And again, hit yes to push notifications. If you're watching this on Rumble or YouTube, under the description of this video, there's a link that says download our free app, and there's going to be a link provided. All you got to do is simply click on that link, and it's going to take you right into the page where in which you can download the app today. So we're coming off the heels of our Monday night prayer. We had a great time in prayer last night. Again, I want to encourage you, if you have not been able to join us, I'm telling you, you're missing some powerful prayer segments. Every Monday night, right here on YouTube, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, I want to encourage you, hop over here, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and then when we stream live on Monday nights, you can be a part of our online family, our church here, and be a part of these wonderful prayer segments. And of course, all of you guys that, you know, not maybe you're not able to join us on Monday night because your time zone or work or whatever the case may be, we keep these archived on our YouTube channel. You can go back, you can watch these, and you can join in and come into agreement with many of us who are praying for certain topics and what and so on and so forth. So we want to get you up to date on at the top of the hour here. We want to get you updated what's going on in the Middle East. So let's do that right now. We're going to do a reaction video here. We're going to watch this together and do a little bit of commentary. And again, I want to emphasize, guys, that when we do these reaction videos, we have to interject commentary. We have to stop so long and we interject commentary because we can't just sit here and watch the video because we get flagged on these things. So there is in the rules of YouTube and content sharing, when you do screen sharing like this, or you do reaction videos, you have to interject commentary because it's got to be for the purposes of education or information. And again, I want to emphasize that because we got a lot of comments. Why don't you just let the video play? That's why. Okay. So let's watch this. They're going to give us some updates
tonight
here.
With rising tensions in the Middle East, will there be an all-out war after the dangerous escalation between Israel and Hezbollah already? The moment one of hundreds of airstrikes slamming into a neighborhood in southern Lebanon. Israel saying they struck 1,300 Hezbollah targets.
Now, this number is far more than that. I saw a report that stated that it was much higher than this now. Instead of 1,300, it was up there. Because remember, this news is over 17 hours ago. So this has been updated. And I think that number is much larger than 1,300.
Officials say nearly 500 are dead tonight. Residents. It's watching as their neighborhoods burn. Israel accusing Hezbollah of storing weapons and missiles in civilian homes. People heeding Israel's warning tonight to move north. You can see the traffic jams there. A dash cam capturing a rocket landing in front of this vehicle right here. There's no word tonight on the driver's fate. Hezbollah, in response, firing more than 250 rockets into northern Israel. Israeli defenses intercepting those rockets. Tonight, the Pentagon now sending additional U.S. troops to the region out of an abundance of caution.
Okay, I want to stop here. Did you hear that? Now U.S. troops are being sent back to the Middle East. Remember, under the Biden administration, he was trying to pull all these troops out of the Middle East. Now they're pulling them back in. Again, according to the official report, the U.S. is sending troops to the Middle East in response to the surge in violence between Israel and Hezbollah, and as the region teeters on the edge of what they're saying an all-out war. The Pentagon announced yesterday that additional service members would be deployed to join the 40,000 already stationed in the region, along with a dozen warships and fighter squadrons. So again, I want to emphasize that there's already 40,000 U.S. troops serviced there, along with a dozen warships and fighter jet squadrons. And now they're saying that they're deploying even more U.S. troops. Because why are they doing this? Because again, our U.S. intelligence, the Pentagon, believes that we are on the very brink of a full-scale war.
ABC's Martha Raddatz in Israel leading us off tonight.
Tonight, the Pentagon sending additional military forces to the Middle East out of an abundance of caution to protect Americans at risk, fearing the exchange of missiles between Israel and Hezbollah may descend into all-out war. With Lebanon reeling after the deadliest Israeli airstrikes in that country in nearly 20 years.
Deadliest airstrikes in this region in 20 years.
Israeli fighter jets roaring across a wide swath of Lebanon, aiming at an astonishing 1,300 targets in what they called a proactive offensive operation against Hezbollah, leaving nearly 500 dead and well more than 1,600 injured, according to Lebanese officials. Apocalyptic scenes on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Residents.
Apocalyptic scenes on the ground. The verbiage, it's very interesting.
Watching
here.
In horror, filming as their neighborhoods burn. Hours earlier, Israeli officials sending text messages and radio announcements urging civilians in villages occupied by Hezbollah to leave immediately for their safety. But there was little time before the missiles began to fall. This dash cam video capturing the moment one explodes. Traffic snarling along the main highways, families loading into trucks, hoping to find safety in the capital, Beirut. The Israeli Defense Forces accusing Hezbollah of storing munitions in civilian homes, claiming...
Now check this video, this footage right here. Again, Israeli officials are saying that these civilians are storing Hezbollah weapons and different equipment in civil in regular civilian homes. And here's a picture of this right
here. These videos show what appears to be a cruise missile hidden inside these collapsible walls. Already Hezbollah launching counterattacks, more than 250 rockets, some hitting near Haifa, the country's third largest city. The Israeli cabinet declaring a special situation nationwide.
And by the way, guys, one of these strikes from Hezbollah struck the city of Nazareth. This is where all of these holy places are. Again, this is the location and the hometown of where Christ was born, a town which is 70% Muslim and 30% Christian. And again, this is noted that American evangelical leader Johnny Moore, who is the president of the Congress of Christian Leaders on Social Media, gave this report. And they call this the, quote, the heartland of Israel, threatening countless holy places. And the report says there's almost 80,000 people that live there, families and children, who are all in shelters.
Let's bring in Martha Raddatz again live in the region for us tonight. Martha, how concerned is the U.S. about this conflict escalating into an all-out war here?
Well, David, we already have 40,000 U.S. troops in the region, including a carrier strike group at sea. But there is concern tonight this conflict could spiral out of control, leaving tens of thousands of Americans needing evacuation. And these additional troops could help with that. David?
Martha Raddatz leading us off here. Martha, thank you. One more question on this. I want to get right to our chief foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell. He's live in Beirut tonight. And Ian, you and I were both on the ground covering Israel's war with Hezbollah nearly two decades ago now. What's the real concern tonight after what we've witnessed already here?
I think the civilian casualty rate is likely to climb, not least because, like Hamas, Hezbollah comes from these local populations. That is where they store and fire weapons from, and then that brings retaliation. And Hezbollah has a...
See, that's the sad part about this, guys, is that these Hezbollah is attacking from these civilian locations. So when Israel strikes back, there's all these civilian casualties because it's mingled right in the mix. These innocent civilian lives, including women and children, are right in the mix of this. And this is why the casualty count is so high.
There's a lot more firepower, fighters, and external support than Hamas. That means they can damage Israel much greater. I mean, according to the organization, they're capable of hitting almost anywhere in Israel, and we haven't seen even the least of their firepower yet. Israel's invasions and wars in the past ultimately didn't make the country safe or diminish Hezbollah. So what can Israel really do differently this time?
Now, Israel has warned Hezbollah that, quote, back down or else. Now, according to this report, quote, the main goal of these attacks from Israel by the Israeli leadership is a first step in changing the security situation on the border between Lebanon and Israel by pushing Hezbollah back to the Litani River in southern Lebanon, many kilometers away from the border, and thus make it less likely for Hezbollah to be able to threaten the Israeli border communities. Robert Riggs, who is a geopolitical analyst, has stated that, quote, the international community should expect to see a continuation of this strategy of advanced technology paired with accurate intelligence gathered on the ground in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and to a lesser extent, Yemen. I want you to remember those names there, or these that are involved here. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran. Do you know that these make up a kingdom that was mentioned in the Bible called the Kingdom of Babylon? Ancient Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, consisted of those nations. This is what's very intriguing about this. Now, here's some more information. We're getting ready to see a former IDF spokesman that was interviewed by Fox News. He gives a little bit more insight into this war. So let's check this out.
Joined by former IDF spokesperson Jonathan Conricus. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As Nate Foy was just talking about, apparently through surveillance, the IDF was able to see, hey, look, they just launched a cruise missile out of somebody's house. You don't see that every day.
No, you don't. But in the coming days, I think you will see it more and more, because that is the modus operandi of Hezbollah. And that is what they have prepared for many years. And southern Lebanon and many parts of central Lebanon and the southern parts of Beirut, the so-called Dahya, the Hezbollah-controlled area, these areas are literally full of locations where Hezbollah hides weapons inside what appears to be civilian houses. And I can assure...
Okay, stop. So the reason why we're showing you this is because when the mainstream media comes up and gives you a different narrative and tries to portray Israel as these evil villains and bad guys who are targeting women and children, now you know what's going on here. This is what they do. They mingle the innocent among the terrorists, so that when this military conflict takes place, it's going to guarantee that there is civilian casualties. This is very horrific. This is sad. This is very sad.
I assure you that when once CNN and other networks will film it, it'll look like civilian houses again, and nobody will know that inside weapons were stored and they were fired against Israel.
There
you go. What really is happening here at the big level is that Israel, on one hand, wants to return its civilians to their homes, and Israel is now presenting Hezbollah with a very simple choice. It's either de-link yourself from the situation in Gaza and decide not to continue to do the dirty work of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Okay, now that's a heavy statement right there. If you caught that, he literally just said he's acknowledging and letting us know that they are directly affiliated with Iran and they're carrying out the dirty work of Iran. So this is a this war that Israel's in with Hezbollah is really essentially it's a proxy war with Iran. This is what they're in conflict with Persia, ancient Persia. The Bible calls them Persia. Modern day, we call them Iran.
Or protect and ensure the future stability of Lebanon. You can't have both things. You can't continue to be with Iran and have a safe Lebanon, because if you continue to fire rockets at Israel, that will come at a catastrophic cost for Lebanon. We're not there yet. We're still messaging, and this is still on the brink. I don't think that neither Israel nor Hezbollah has crossed that brink yet, but we are getting very, very close. You know,
so he's saying that we have not crossed the brink. What is he talking about? The brink of a full-scale war, but he says that we're very, very close.
Well, Colonel, you know, in your former capacity, you had to be the diplomat, right? You were representing the military as well as representing the government. And as we look at these live shots this morning, it looks like the Middle East is on fire right now. What does this mean for America? We got an election coming up. You have an administration that has asked for restraint from Israel. You got a Kamala Harris who wants to be the next president, who is asking for more restraint. If an American president and Kamala Harris is elected, what is that going to mean for Israel?
Now, this is a really good question. Let's see what he says here.
I think that what our current situation now means for America is that America's most loyal ally in the Middle East, that defends democracy and Western values, that acts in order to enhance America's global standing and its regional power, that ally, Israel, may be at the cusp of war, which will be a very, very difficult war for Israel to fight. It'll be a war that Israel will defeat its enemies, but it will be different from what we've had against Hamas, because Hezbollah is way more powerful when it comes to weapons, capabilities, and personnel. And
that was a very interesting information he just provided there. So this is going to be interesting. You know, where's America going to stand? Where's America going to stand? What does this mean for our elections? Let's see. Let's listen on and see what else he says.
The consequences for Israel will be dire. The consequences for the region will be very severe. And I think that from a simple American perspective, it'll be an American ally fighting against a terrorist organization and against an enemy of America, which is Iran. And I am confident, as an Israeli, I'm confident that this time again, America will stand by Israel. Whoever is elected, America will stand by Israel, because Israel fights for democracy and freedom against the powers of evil.
So this IDF spokesman is assured that America will stand with Israel regardless of who wins the election. So what do you guys think about that in the chat? Do you believe this? Do you think that America will stand with Israel? And what will it look like if we know where Trump stands? We know that Trump will stand with Israel. We know that. He's made that plainly. He's made that abundantly clear. But let me throw an angle out here. What if Kamala Harris wins this? What if Kamala Harris wins this? Is America going to stand with Israel under her administration? That's the real question here. Now, this is very intriguing. This is a report from the Daily Mail. Israel's war is now on five fronts. Let me say that again. Israel is now at war on five fronts. How the Jewish state faces all-out conflict against its Middle Eastern enemies. Again, after hundreds in latest Hezbollah strikes as Lebanon accuses it of carrying out an extermination. I want to scroll down here and I want to show you this. Here is a map. Again, the Daily Mail put this together here, and it shows you how Israel is now at war on five fronts. So you've got, they are in conflict with Hezbollah and a ground war with Israel across Lebanon's southern border. They are in war with Iraqi and Syrian militias, and these are being carried out through drone and missile attacks against Israel. Then they're dealing with Hamas and guerrilla warfare against Israel inside Gaza itself. And number four, they're dealing with the Houthis, who are carrying out strikes in the Red Sea and putting Israeli and Western vessels at alert. And then, and also, and actually engaging in conflict there. And then, of course, you've got Iran, which is the head of the serpent, carrying out long range strikes against Israel to support its proxy forces. So these are the five fronts. This is, if you guys that are watching the visual of this on your screen, you can see where you have these five fronts that Israel is dealing with, and all of these are coming against Israel at once. Now I want to scroll down here. Here's another graphic. Look at this graphic. And it shows you this. Israel has 670,000 ground forces. Hezbollah, 25 to 50,000. Iran, 1.18 million. Then this doesn't include the, you have Israel that has the Merkava, the tanks, the F-16 Falcons, the LAR-160 artillery. Hezbollah has the T-55 tanks, the Majir, I believe that's how you pronounce it, six, the Fatah 110 missile, and then Iran has the Karar, the tanks, the MiG-29s, the Shahab, the three missiles. So just give me a little bit of a an understanding of what we're talking about here. Now, what I find intriguing when I read this, when I read that Israel's dealing with a conflict stretching five regions, five different fronts, rather, that they're dealing with at the same time, immediately I thought of Psalms chapter 83, where in which the man of God talks about he gives a prophetic word, where in which there is a coalition of nations, and their intent is to, according to verse 4, it says, quote, they've come together to say, let us cut them off, and he's talking about the nation of Israel, from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, and they form a confederacy against you. Now, consequently, in this coalition of nations here, you've got the Palestinians that are mentioned, Jordanians, the Saudis, Egypt, Hezbollah, the Lebanese, Hamas, and then you got Syria and Iraq involved. All of these are involved in this coalition of nations that will form a confederacy with the intent to wipe Israel out. And here you are, or we have this report, which is interesting, saying that now Israel is in a major conflict across five fronts: Hezbollah, Iraq, Syria, the Houthis, Hamas, and Iran. So it's all coming together. And you've got Turkey, who's threatening to get involved. And you, so this thing is, and again, I'm only telling you what these sources are telling us, that we could be, we're seeing, we're on the very precipice, the very brink of an all-out, full-scale war. Now, here's another report. This one is from Michael Snyder. This is an interesting title here. What do they know? China instructs citizens to leave Israel, and the U.S. is sending troops, and Israel imposes a special situation on the home front. As this thing continues to escalate, more and more countries have instructed their citizens to leave Lebanon altogether. But according to a recent report, even the Chinese have also told their citizens to evacuate from Israel. Quote, China's embassy in Israel has asked its citizens to leave the country and return to China in a Sunday night statement. The embassy went on to add that Chinese citizens should not travel to Israel for the time being. Now, this, again, ladies and gentlemen, comes on the heels of U.S. citizens that have already been warned and instructed to leave the Lebanon as well. All this, again, while more U.S. troops are pouring into the region. Meanwhile, Israel announced a, quote, special situation on the home front. This has been officially declared for the entire country. I'm going to read this quote. Quote, on Monday evening, the government approved the declaration of a, quote, special situation on the home front throughout Israel, following the most intense day of fighting between Israel and Hezbollah again since October. Again, other sources say it's been the most intense in 20 years. The declaration of the special situation significantly expands the IDF's powers to issue instructions to the Israeli public, allowing it to ban gatherings, limit studies, and issue additional instructions required to save lives. And Snyder point out, imagine the repercussions if the president of the United States gave such orders in the U.S. to, for the U.S. military special authority to over cities throughout the U.S. This is a major dramatic move, and so Israeli officials must believe that all-out war is imminent. So, folks, this is a very serious matter. This is why we spent last night, if you joined us for our Monday night prayer, we took time and we prayed for the nation of Israel. We prayed for our U.S. troops, our men and women on the front lines, those that are already stationed there among the 40,000, and also those and that number that's being deployed over there. We prayed for the peace of Jerusalem because it's commanded. We prayed for wisdom to be given to Benjamin Netanyahu and his cabinet and even in our leadership. What's going to happen when we're fully involved in this? Some are concerned that this will spill over into what we would call a third world war or World War III. So again, we want to keep you posted on that, keep you updated on that, keep praying about this, a very volatile situation, as again, it looks like that we could be on the very precipice of an all-out full-scale war taking place in the Middle East. Now we're going to shift gears, and I want to talk about something that wasn't really out there on the mainstream news and wasn't talked about much, and that is the United Nations on a couple days ago, as of the report of this, adopted what's called a pact, P-A-C-T, a pact for the future. This took place on September 22nd. And the mainstream media in the Western world has always completely blacked this out, completely ignored it. Instead, all the focus was, of course, on sports and Trump and Harris. According to everything that I have researched on this, this is literally a document laying the foundation for a new, quote, global order. In fact, you can find the text for this very document online, but of course, it's a 56 page document. So if you want to sit there and comb through 56 pages of this document, go right ahead. But thankfully, we have individuals like Michael Snyder, who's a former lawyer, who knows how to, this is what he did for a living, so he can go through and he can pick out things. And that's what I want to do with his help. And we give credit to him all the time. We like sharing a lot of his sources. We've had him on before, we've done podcasts with him. I want to kind of peel back. We're going to highlight, we're going to kind of give you a synopsis of what this document entails, why we need to pay attention to this, because this is major. Let me read this quote. World leaders today, and again, this was on the 22nd of September, adopted a pact for the future that includes a, quote, global digital compact and a declaration on future generations. This pact is the culmination of an inclusive, years-long process to adapt international cooperation to the realities of today and the challenges of tomorrow. The most wide-ranging international agreement in many years, covering entirely new areas as well as issues on which agreement has not been possible in decades. The pact aims above all to ensure that international institutions can deliver in the face of a world that has changed dramatically since they were created. As the Secretary General has said, quote, we cannot create a future fit for our grandchildren with a system built by our grandparents. Now, we've got a clip from this pact, this agreement, this meeting where in which they signed this thing into place. Now I'm going to pull this straight up from the article. So you're looking at this, you guys that are watching the visual of this, I had to pull this up so you can see what I'm looking at here, because I want you to read some stuff here that I'm going to highlight. The UN press release also boldly declares that the pact for the future will, quote, lay the foundations for a new global order. That is not, guys, that's not a term that Michael Snyder made up. It's not a term that I'm making up. This is their language. They are laying the foundations for a new global order. The Pact for the Future, the Global Digital Compact, and the Declaration on Future Generations open the door to new opportunities and untapped possibilities. Ooh, aren't you getting chills and excited? All this was said by the Secretary General during his remarks at the opening of the Summit of the Future. The President of the General Assembly noted that the PAC would, quote, lay the foundations for a sustainable, just, and peaceful global order for all peoples and nations. Can I say that one more time? This President of the General Assembly stated that this Pact for the Future will, quote, lay the foundations for a sustainable, just, and peaceful global order for all peoples and nations. Stop. Guys, I honestly, if we could go back 4,000 years, I promise you this is what it would sound like. I believe this is what it would sound like if we could have heard Nimrod in Genesis chapter 11, when he was constructing the Tower of Babel, which again was the picture of the first new global order, if you would. You see, if you go to Genesis 11, it says the whole earth had one language, it had one speech, they all came together with one intent, and it was to build this tower and to make a name for themselves. That's what it says here. And they all came together. And again, this is absolutely a picture of the first global order. And by the way, and as I've pointed out before, this entire agenda of creating this Tower of Babel was spearheaded by Nimrod. And it's interesting, when you start really digging and doing research on this guy, there's some Jewish historical writings out there that say that this man was of innocent men. And he demanded that men depart from the religion of Shem, or which was Noah's son, and he turned people to him. Basically, this guy would be what we call a cult leader. He turned people against Shem, or the son of Noah, and all this came after a global disaster called the flood. So notice this man, a global leader, rose to power after the convenience of a global disaster. Oh, I hope y'all are getting this. A global disaster was taken advantage of by a man, a charismatic leader that rose to power and position and put forth a blueprint and a plan to unite the world under one speech, one language, one purpose, one religion. And friends, this, you don't think the Antichrist is going to do this very thing? The Antichrist, when you read Revelation and you read about the disasters that will transpire, the plagues, the famines, asteroid strikes, all of these things are happening, and there's so much of the population that is going to, they're going to suffer from food shortages. They're going to suffer from water shortages because the water is becoming bitter, and you're going to have a humanitarian crisis like you've never seen before. And guess who is going to come on the scene and have the solutions to all the problems? Your Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, he comes out of the gate as the rider on the white horse, and he has a bow with no arrows. Consequently, because the Antichrist will come in a diplomacy of peace. And I find it interesting that the language of this Secretary General is saying that this pact of the future, or for the future rather, is going to be it's going to lay the foundations for a sustainable, just, and peaceful global order. And isn't it interesting? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that there will be a unified global effort that will push peace and safety. They will say peace and safety, but consequently, following this decree of peace and safety, Paul tells us sudden destruction shall come upon them. Now, I've said for a long time, guys, I believe this is directly correlated with Daniel 9:27, which gives us the, it tells us that the Antichrist will come on the scene, and the Bible says he shall confirm a covenant for many for 1 week. In Hebrew, that's 7 years. Confirm. You look up the word. I looked up the word confirm. And to confirm something means to give new assurance of the validity of, remove doubt about by authoritative act or indisputable facts, and confirm a rumor or confirm an order. So in other words, translation, there will be, oh, come on, you're going to get this. There's going to be a global unified effort of the nations of the world to push for a unified order of peace to the nations. So there'll be treaties, plural tense, already put in place so that when the Antichrist rises to power in Daniel 9:27, where Jesus, or Daniel talks about this, when he comes on the scene, the Antichrist will confirm, he will give new assurance to the validity of something that's already put in place. He will remove all doubt for this covenant of peace. He will make an authoritative assurance to the nations of the world by confirming something that's already been laid in the groundwork. And this is why, guys, that Paul said, when they shall say peace and safety, that destruction shall come upon them, because the Antichrist is going to sign that 7-year peace treaty that includes Israel and the surrounding nations of the world. Israel will lower their guard, and the Antichrist's true identity will be made manifest to the world after the restrainer, 2 Thessalonians, is removed, and then he comes to power. Then he invades Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, and then he will attack the Jewish people and Israel. Let me go back to this article. The pact covers a broad range of issues, including, look at this, peace and security. Are you kidding me, guys? Look at that. This global pact to bring a peaceful global order includes peace and security, sustainable development, climate change, digital cooperation, human rights, gender, youth, and future generations, and the, quote, transformation of global governance. Now, another page hit in all these 52, 56 pages of this entire framework of this is what's called the UN 2.0. And this is all about the creation of a, quote, modern UN family. Let's read this together. Halfway through the 2030 agenda, the world is not on track to achieve the sustainable development goals. It is not too late to change course if we all rethink, refocus, and recharge. UN 2.0 encapsulates the Security General's vision of a, quote, modern UN family, rejuvenated by a forward-thinking culture and empowered by cutting-edge skills for the 21st century to turbocharge our support to people and planet. We will strive towards this vision with a powerful vision of innovation, data, digital, foresight, and behavioral science skills and culture, a dynamic combination that we call the continent of change. It is about evolution towards more agile, diverse, responsive, and impactful UN organizations. One of the most shocking things about this pact for the future that's in these pages that you'll find is that this also recognizes a, quote, central role for the UN and a coordinated, multidimensional international response whenever, here it is, future global shocks arise. Let's read this. All right, here we go. Quote, we recognize the need for a more coherent, cooperative, coordinated, and multidimensional international response to complex global shocks and the central role of the United Nations in this regard. Complex global shocks are events that have severely disruptive and adverse consequences for a significant proportion of countries and the global population, and that lead to impacts across multiple sectors, reoccurring a multidimensional and whole of government, whole of society response. That's a lot of holes there, isn't it? Whole this, whole that, W-H-O-L-E. In other words, the next time that we experience a major global crisis, the United Nations could literally be running the entire show and dictating what will be done. So this, guys, is no longer a could be or might be, but it's signed into place. This has now become a reality. This pact for the future, friends, has now been signed into place. September 22nd, 2024 will go down in history because I believe this is the day that a major cornerstone of the blueprint of a new global order has now been constructed that, again, in my opinion, is paving the way for, once again, the future establishment of the final empire of Bible prophecy that will be orchestrated, ruled, reigned, and governed by what your Bible calls the Antichrist of prophecy. So endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, if you've not got our free app, please get it today. Get it into your hands. Pick it up. It's free. Apple, Android, whatever you have, go to your store. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications if you want to keep up with headlines like this, podcasts like this, information like this, all of it. Everything we put out there is going to be right there at your fingertips. And as always, we want to give you the opportunity, if our ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, this is your home church, whatever your relationship is, we want to give you the opportunity to pray about becoming a monthly partner. There's two ways of giving, guys. You can give electronically through the app, or multiple ways you can do that, or you can give right there on your screen by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on being here tomorrow. I'm going to let you know up front, I am fighting off a head cold again. It's been relentless this going into like the end of summer, going into fall. Like, we just got over this, and now our whole family is now, it's another head cold has run through our family. So right now I feel pretty good. My voice is holding up. So I pray that we'll be able to be back here tomorrow night. We plan on being back here tomorrow night, Wednesday, September 25th. I've got some things on deck. We've got some more. I got some reaction videos I want to show you. We're going to pull some scripture into that. I've got a message I want to get to you guys. So we got a lot of content coming out, and we always enjoy giving that out to you and informing you and equipping you and encouraging you and exhorting you. So until we see you guys next time, I pray that the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.